Living in an era of unprecedented change, it's easy to think of our potential opportunities as boundless. But there's a catch. We must be smart enough, evolved enough, to leverage change. We must get beyond our farmer roots and find our inner hunter. 10,000 years ago, something changed. Someone planted the first seed, ushering in a new era. Humankind had a reliable source of food, eliminating the time-consuming need to seek out wild plants and hunt animals nomadically. People could stay put, build communities, and acquire possessions. Over the next 500 generations, predictability and protecting order became paramount. We evolved into excellent farmers. It's this simple. Once we find our field to farm, we're neurologically wired to repeat the chain of decisions that led to the last harvest. Today, you can see this wiring in the way most corporations behave. Once a company becomes successful, it creates rules, procedures, and policies to protect the status quo. Interestingly, it's not just about corporations. Everyone farms. Your field might be your job, your product, or your brand, but reflexively, when you find a fertile field, you farm. Your neurological preferences take over and you become protective of your craft, digging in for what you hope will be a repeat of the prior harvest. While this tendency served us well for the last 10,000 years, it leaves us unprepared for today's era of rapid change. To break free, we need to better understand our farming bias and learn how to awaken our inner hunter. Yeah, it's tempting to think I'm already a hunter and that's why I'm listening to this audiobook. Why can't we just get to the patterns and get going already? But there's an immense danger in that impatience. If you fall into the traps of the farmer, you won't be able to fully exploit the patterns and find your next big opportunity. So let's listen up to the farmer. Cough syrup, awkward moments, and sex appeal. Here we go. Roy Raymond was a 1970s version of today's ambitious California entrepreneur. He was a Stanford business grad on the lookout for a commercial concept he could call his own. And he wasn't finding it pursuing his career at Vicks, the over-the-counter cough syrup company. One day, on a mission to find a gift for his wife, he entered the intimate apparel section of his local department store. The experience was awkward, to say the least. He felt like an unwelcomed intruder, embarrassed and lost in racks of terry cloth robes and ugly floral print nylon nightgowns. The discomfort led him to an idea. Why not create a guy-friendly shop in which men could buy lingerie for their girlfriends or wives? His idea was rooted in two insights. First, that a lingerie shop geared towards men would make them more comfortable shopping. And second, that truly sexy lingerie would be a hit with both men and women. In 1977, Raymond begged and borrowed $80,000 from his relatives to launch a little lingerie shop. With its wood-paneled walls, fashionable clothing, and upscale male-oriented theme, the shop racked up sales of $500,000 in its first year. That success funded three more locations. Aiming to go national, Raymond launched a mail-order catalog and was the talk of the industry. He won additional notice when that catalog began getting pinned up in men's locker rooms everywhere. Within a few years, he was adding new locations and reaping millions in revenue. By now, you've probably guessed that Raymond's store was Victoria's Secret, although little remains of Raymond's business model in the international chain we know today. Raymond did many things correctly, including transforming a broken shopping experience into a lucrative retail concept and exploiting an untapped niche for which he reaped the rewards. But despite those smart moves, he didn't see the bigger picture. It turned out, of course, that women buy most lingerie, not men. So Raymond was marketing his store towards the wrong gender. Indeed, the main reason that women shopped at his stores was for fashionable lingerie, but not specifically because it made men happy, rather because it made women feel more confident. Raymond missed all that, and eventually his chain was headed for bankruptcy. That's when retailing magnate Leslie Wexner took the enterprise off his hands. Within months, the new managers radically repositioned the store and catalog. Imagery, brand colors, and styles were all redesigned for a woman's eye, with a fresh female-empowering approach that worked like a charm. The result? Three decades later, Victoria's Secret has grown into a $6 billion mega brand. It would be easy to dismiss Raymond's talents based on the scale of his blunder and what he overlooked. You might argue that he missed out on the obvious, but don't forget his initial stores made millions. He had a proven formula, and he stuck by it for years. Unfortunately, like many individuals and teams, Raymond was only too happy to play the role of the farmer. Had he experimented more and been willing to cast aside his strongly held beliefs, he might have taken full advantage of tremendous opportunities that his company was poised to exploit. What opportunities are you missing right now? How many breakthrough business ideas are just a few steps away from what you're already working on? The reality is, you can't know. Unlike Raymond, most of us will never see someone else come and do our job so much better. While Raymond's failure was catastrophic, his shortcomings are common among businesses and entrepreneurs. Raymond suffered from the three traps of the farmer. He was complacent with his own success, repetitive, and protective of his own beliefs. As strange as it may sound, one of the hard-to-fathom lessons from these traps is that being good at something, at anything, may eventually keep you from realizing your full potential.